Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Back again. In every episode, you know, but it's like, I want people to know that I choose to come back.
I know, yeah. I mean, yeah. Obviously, of course, you know, it's like, how else are we going to have our weekly debrief if not for the pop?
Exactly.
We certainly can't talk to each other off mic
all day every day.
That's the real secret to the show, is that it's we have to reserve all conversation all week. So despite the fact that we work like 3.5 feet from each other,
right,
it's like no, we'll wait. No, I'm just kidding, we don't do that. We talk to each other all the time.
We sure do. We had a lengthy amount of time to talk to each other here in the last couple of days because we took a road trip up to DC.
We did indeed, yeah, for our first ever NBA game.
Yes.
Or my first ever.
Yeah, my first ever as well. See just the wonderful Washington Wizards just get absolutely destroyed.
Yes. So it was sort of a really fun experience. Like, so even if you're not into pro sports in any capacity, I feel like there is something to be appreciated for the pageantry that is an in-person professional sports game, because there's so much money that gets funneled into this particular industry.
Yes.
Would you not agree?
You know,
it's like you go and it's just very festive. There's lots of like lights and color and music and sounds and people and foods. And, you know, it's just there's so much stuff happening every which everywhere.
Yeah.
But this one was particularly interesting because the Washington Wizards, which are arguably the closest professional basketball team to us.
I think maybe the Charlotte Hornets might be closer.
Okay, yeah.
Like as the crow flies.
This is always like one of those weird ones as like a Virginian, because we don't have like any pro sports teams of our own. And
yeah,
because like Charlotte belongs to North Carolina and DC sort of is like an entity unto itself, it always sort of feels like that is where... It's like maybe like geographically slightly further away, but it feels like nobody else gets like quite as much ownership over DC.
It's like, because DC is like, I mean, not that the stadium for like the Commanders, for example, is in Maryland.
True.
But like
yeah,
DC itself is like on the line between Virginia and Maryland. So it always feels like, well, it's like half and half. But then Maryland has like the Baltimore Ravens. So like you Maryland folk, you go over to your Blackbird folks, we in Virginia will take the DC stuff. You get Baltimore, we get DC, because we don't have anything else.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, but the thing that's sort of funny about it is that like we go to this particular game and it is like, I mean, it's a sold out crowd, you know? I mean, it is loud. Mm-hmm. It is electric. It is not because of the Washington Wizards.
It is not because of the Washington Wizards. I wasn't even rooting for the Wizards, Ben.
Neither was anyone.
This was the most bizarre sporting event I have ever been to, because the Washington Wizards were playing the Boston Celtics, and not just the Boston Celtics, but the best team in the NBA Boston Celtics, and not just the best team in the NBA Boston Celtics, the best team in the NBA Boston Celtics on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, yes. It was like the most unusual occurrence ever. Whoever was setting up their schedule for Boston's play schedule, you know, like they're like, oh yeah, anything important going on March 17th that we should be aware of, like, you know, prioritize a home game or something. It's like, no, I don't think so.
You would really think they'd be in Boston for St. Patrick's Day, mascot like is literally just a guy wearing a four-leaf clover.
But
whatever. And they were in Washington, and we benefited from it, as did, I think, everyone in D.C. Because, like, I do not think it is an exaggeration to say that it was 95% Celtics fans in the audience. There were no Wizard fans.
I mean, we say that, of course. We were in a group of, we were with our younger brother, Tyler, and our dad. And sort of the funny thing is that, like, our younger brother is like a big DC sports fan in general. So he has paid his allegiance to all of the DC sports teams. And our dad is from New England. And so he's largely growing up, always been like a fan of the New England region.
Yeah. The Patriots, the Red Sox, the Celtics.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that the original idea here was that dad was like, yeah, like, why don't we go to a game, and why don't we specifically go to a Celtics game so that, like, I can go and, like, root for, you know,
a team,
my team and stuff. But the hilarious thing about this particular situation, and this is like one of those, I don't want to, like, isolate non, you know, sports fans, because, like, I like football, but, like, when it comes to the NBA, I'm totally like a go sports kind of person. Like, I don't really know a whole lot about, like, the ins and outs. I'm not very good at basketball. Like, I don't follow anything. The narratives are just so absurdly cut and dry for this particular scenario.
Yeah.
Which is that the Wizards are right now, currently, I think, one of the worst teams in the entire league, and the Celtics are the best team in the entire league.
That is basically it. The Wizards, I think, they've been, like, in a fierce battle for last place.
Yes.
I don't even know who the other team is, but, like, if you don't know, the NBA plays, like, just over 80 games per season.
Yeah.
And I think when we were there, the Wizards record was, like, 11-54,
right,
or something. Like, you know, if you say, like, you have 11 wins on the season, it's like, it really depends on how many games total have been played.
Yeah.
If you've played 12 games, that's amazing. If you've played 70 games, that's awful.
And the, like, Celtics is, like, flipped.
It's like the flip. They were, like, 56-9. You know, like, unbelievable, you know, different records, and they're matching up right here. So we're watching, I mean, and I think they are considered the best team in the league right now. I mean, they won by pretty much 30 points while three starters were injured.
And then benched for, like, the last, like, quarter and a half. So,
yeah. So I would say the first half was truly, like, okay. So when we got there, we took, like, you know, like a selfie of the four of us, me, you, dad, and Ty. And we're just, you know, I wanted to post it on Instagram, and I just put, like, go Celtics. And, like, you know, that Tyler's wife, Emily, had, like, had a Cricut machine, like, everyone some gear to wear for the game, because we're not, like, super NBA fans or something. So, like, you know, I was sporting some Celtics gear,
right,
but it was, like, homemade. It didn't, like, super fit very well. And I was like, you know, whatever. I just, you know, go Celtics. And, like, I posted that before the game, not necessarily just, like, saying, like, I'm a huge Celtics fan or anything like that. And I don't know if huge is the right word, but by the end of the game, that was a very true sentiment. I was like, they won me over hook, line, and sinker. I'm like, that, you know what? I'm a Celtics fan now. If I didn't have any allegiance to any basketball team, now I do, because it was so much fun. I was smiling the whole game.
It was really
wild.
It was
like crazy. It was like, I'm sure you've seen the movie Fever Pitch.
Yes.
And it's like at the beginning, he talks about how his uncle takes him to the Red Sox game and it just, like, changes his life. It was like, I felt like I was that kid in that movie.
Right.
We're also watching
a sponge.
I have a sponge. Yeah. It was just like, because not only were, you know, they just absolutely lighting it up, we were able to watch we're going to see Jason Tatum, who is, I guess, the best player on the Celtics. So he's the best player on the best team.
Yeah.
I'm not sure people think he's the best player in the NBA, but he's in like the top five. And good Lord, if he wasn't the best person in the building.
Yeah.
I mean, holy cow.
Well, there was that one kid at halftime who had to shoot free throws with beer goggles on. Yeah. So, I mean, that guy could have given him a run for his money.
I mean, who knows? Maybe. But man, he couldn't miss. It was insane. But if he couldn't miss, there was this other guy, Sam Hauser, who's like on his way to setting a 3-point record in like Celtic history. Like, he just drops 10 3-pointers in the game. And it was like, I think what it's like, you watch basketball on TV, and I can get into basketball on TV like pretty quickly, but like in person, like this is watching players I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And I think what you can so quickly like latch onto is like who the players are. Because like if you're watching football, like, you know, the quarterback is the same every play. And like probably the linemen are pretty much the same every play, but you don't see what they look like. They're all just in the same jersey. If they switch running backs, you probably don't notice, like, right, the average viewer, you know? They throw the ball to a guy and he catches it. Like, if you're clued into the team, like, you'll know that was a different receiver. But like if you're just watching it, so the quarterback threw it to a receiver, you know, it's like, right, you don't, it's like, but if one player on a basketball court has scored 30 points, you know exactly who they are. You know, every time they have the ball, like, it's just the fact that they have the ball is exciting because something could happen.
Yeah.
It's like, and there's only five of them. There's not 11 people constantly subbing out of the game who look identical in their uniforms. It is five, and they all look very different, right, and they all are like insanely good at the game, especially in this game in particular, where it was just like, hey, not only are we the best team, but we basically don't have any opposition.
Yeah.
So let's just light it up.
Yeah. Well, and that was exactly what was going on. So like one of the big things for me, like when it comes to sports, that I always talk about going back, like to like the first formative memory that I personally had was going to a Virginia Tech football game in 1999, where Virginia Tech was playing, like, you know, a rival at the time, Syracuse, and Michael Vick was playing, and it was 63-0.
Right.
And, you know, we went and we grilled hot dogs behind the car with dad, and we went and we watched this game where it was just nothing but like the stadium exploding with noise over, right, and over again, over, like, mm-hmm, the most electric player that like my team has ever had, you know, like, and it was just like to be there to witness it. Like, you're right. I mean, it's that fever pitch phenomenon of just sort of like, by the end of the day, I was a diehard.
Right.
But the thing that was so cool about this, because I always have this experience with the Olympics, like when it rolls around, where it's like, I don't know a lot about, and I wouldn't even call these obscure sports. They're just sports that I only ever watch during the Olympics. So it, right, might be like gymnastics or figure skating, or, you know, some
swimming,
of the
swimming,
track and field events, stuff like that. It's like, you know, when you're watching the Olympics, what you're watching every single time is history being made.
Right. That's the power of the Olympics.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, because it's, they give you this like manufactured scarcity with the Olympics, which is that like, we only get to see this once every 4 years, which means that like you're waiting and waiting and waiting for like the cream of the crop to finally rise. And you get to watch the Super Bowl of effectively every single sporting event per that season's like spectrum, you know,
right,
so whether winter or summer. And so it's like, you can sit down and not know anything about like a high jumper, you know, at the start of this 30-minute like Olympic viewing session.
Right.
And then what they'll do is they'll have built a package around this person and what their, you know, quite literal hurdles they've gone through in life, mm-hmm, who they are, where they came from, like, you know, what they had to overcome in order to make the Olympics, and against all the odds, now here they are. And there's the possibility that they're going to clear this number that nobody's ever cleared. And like, it'll be an Olympic record or a world record. And like, you know, you get so informed so quickly as to like what the stakes are and what you're viewing. And it's like, this person is the person. They're going to jump higher than anyone else has ever jumped. And I have never been such a super fan of this person whose name I didn't know, right, 20 minutes ago.
That I think is the like the magic that like I think you don't end up following the sports for the Olympics like the rest of the time, because like all of the Olympic sports are just like, these are the things that like they're the things that humans would have needed to have figured out without needing to gamify them most of the time. Like, you know, basketball is in the Olympics, but like whether or not we ever competed in swimming, people would need to know how to swim.
Oh,
people,
sure,
would, yeah, need to run fast. They would need to jump high.
Right.
Like, they are the basics. They are the core. It's like, oh yeah, yeah. These are all parts of other sports, but like, let's just do the basic of them.
Right.
And it's like, of course it's more fun to watch the more complicated versions of them all, but it's like at the end of the day, you're right. If someone's doing the high jump and they just set a world record high jump, it's like you just witnessed the highest anyone who's ever lived has ever jumped.
Right.
And it's
right.
like, there's like, everyone knows about jumping. Everyone's jumped. And it's like, you've everyone as a kid is trying to see how high can you jump. And it's like, that person right there just jumped higher than literally, and you just saw it, you know, like
right.
no one ever that we know, you know,
right. Yeah. Has ever jumped that high.
Has jumped before. That high. And that right. person just did.
Yes.
Off yeah. the ground with their feet.
Yes.
It That's crazy.
It just happened on human earth.
That is the fastest someone has run in a 100 meter direction.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
like, you know, it's just, it, and it's like mine. It's just so cool when you watch the Olympics like that. But so that's honestly, I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly where I'm going now.
What I was going to say though, is like that I feel like was sort of like some of the magic that we had at this particular game. I mean, not the least of which is the fact we're there, like, you know, like the three brothers are there with our dad, you know, like yeah. we're having this like great, like bonding experience, just getting to like spend this time together and like, you know, really have, cause I mean, especially as we've like gotten older and our families and everything, like it's harder to have the situation that we were sitting in, like the fact that all four schedules could be cleared so that we could be in this place at this time and then just like watching something fun unfold. But you're exactly right. Like that was like what was going on inside of this game. Like there was the narrative. There was like this guy who's out there just like sinking threes left, right and center. And you're just sort of like, are we about to like watch like an NBA record happen in real time,
right,
in person,
yeah.
like, you know, it's like, because it could happen right now. And like once you're like bought into like, you know, this like one objective thing that you're following, it's like you don't even have to like understand all the complexities of the sport or the greater narratives at play or like, you know, what the implications, because otherwise, I mean, the Celtics beating the Wizards was effectively going into the evening a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't really something where there were actual true stakes involved, nor did it really have like did the outcome of the game impact like where either of them will go at the end of the season.
Right. Yeah. You know, not in particular. I mean, it's like one of those things like if the Wizards had managed to scrape together a win, like maybe that hurts Jason Tatum's MVP run, you know,
right, right, like, yeah.
Oh wow, you lost to the Wizards there. Okay, yeah. there, friend.
That's a small ding, yeah.
yeah.
But like, I think that this is sort of, I mean, just to like bring it back more to like our realm of conversation topics and like, you know, the things that we discuss and stuff. Why is this important? Like, you know, like what does it sort of like represent? But like, I think in a lot of ways, this is sort of like the opportunity to exist while something else in the world. Like while certain kinds of history are being made, it just feels like such an opportunity. It's like one of those things that just makes you like so grateful to be here now and like where we are.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so I think a lot of times, you know, this is where, like, okay, so I hopefully this won't be controversial to bring up, but there was, I think that the team was showing me like a TikTok the other day where the actress who played, Pomona Sprout in,
Harry Potter
films,
yeah.
you know, was sort of talking like, do people still like this? Like, what's going on? Like, I mean, guys, it's been a little while. Like, but the thing is, like, you know, like watching it was sort of one of those things where I was like, I feel like maybe it's possible, like, even as you've lived like a longer life, different things will stand out to you as like, what actually at the end of the day were the highlights? Like, what were the things that you got to bear witness to that stood the test of time once everything fully progressed?
Yeah.
And you know, like this could be like one of those things where it's like for our generation of people that like grew up, you know, like with Harry himself, it was sort of like, this is everything a little bit, you know, like this is so cool. This is like, it's like we've witnessed like one of the most, like the biggest, most successful franchises of all time happen. And we were there like waiting for each next installment.
Right. Yeah, like we were like part of it.
We were part of it. Yeah. yeah. And so it's like, it's funny to hear that perspective, you know, be delivered because like in a lot of ways, like, you know, when I hear that, I'm sort of like, it's like, It just tells me that it's like your perspective on it must be so very different.
Right.
Because like it doesn't, I don't ever expect it to go away. Like there's no piece of me that thinks that like when I'm 50, I'll be too old for it. Or when I'm 70, I'll be too old for it. Or
oh,
when I'm
yeah.
like, you know, like when I'm on my deathbed, I'll be too old for it. Like I don't think that.
Right.
Like, I don't think at any point in time, like, I won't outgrow it. I got to live with it.
Yeah. Like it's just part of you. It's just part of the world now.
Yes. Yeah. 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 So that's like one of those things that I think is just it's like, you know, because what I love whenever something like this in the media, you know, like I feel like I've talked about like, you know, Taylor Swift some recently as like an example of one of these things where it's just sort of this bizarre like unifying force of something media.
Yeah.
You know, it's like whether or not like you, like, you know, she's your favorite musician, like that, that's not the point. Like that's, you know, it's not the sound or the songs. It's like, it's just that it's happening,
right?
You know, it's there, you know, it's, it has a life of its own. It, it is greater than the sum of its parts. You
it,
know,
I like, mean, it absolutely is. And it's like right now, like you'll hear people being like, oh, I'm so over Taylor Swift. And it's like history is not going to remember that opinion one bit.
Yeah. You know, right.
Like,
right.
I bet, I'm sure there were people who were just like, I'm just not that into the Beatles or whatever. Like whilst they were massive and huge.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, guess what? Does anyone remember you? As far as history is concerned, they were a universally beloved band and like the most successful band of all time.
Right.
You know,
but like even me. So it's so funny you give the example of the Beatles, because sometimes like I felt like growing up, I had that exact position towards the Beatles. I'm like, I am tired of hearing about this. Like, who cares about like these people? Like, you know, because I've never been someone who was like particularly bought into the sound of the Beatles.
Right.
And I didn't really like live to experience that prominence. But like, you know, for like our parents or something who did witness it firsthand, I bet it's the exact same thing. It's like, oh my gosh, you had to be there. You had to see
the mania.
The mania. Like the every headline, every Billboard charts. Like, you know, they were everywhere. I mean, they were the thing, you know, and it's like every generation I think gets to own something like this as they live. And sort of it's just gonna be like you'll live through something, you know, something amazing, like a world record will be set at the Olympics this year.
Right.
We will watch someone achieve something that has never been done before for certain this year in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Like that will happen. And like, I mean, that's a microcosm of the greater example, which is, you know, every generation, every lifetime, every whatever will have something that happens. And it's like, I think that it can be either fun to embrace that something, or you know if you're just tired of hearing about it, like I also understand that. I mean, it can happen.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
It's just fun.
It's fun to be a part of it.
And it's like, okay, so the other thing that this game, having this one experience, made me really want to do, because like as we were there, like I think it was cool that we got to see in particular, Jason Tatum on the court.
Sure.
Who was like, I mean, because it was like, as I said, there was this other guy on the court who was draining threes and was like about to, you know, set some new record for not just the Celtics, but like the NBA.
Right.
Which
right.
He rolled his ankle, didn't get to do it. Unfortunate. Yeah. But in the meantime, it's like, so if you hit 10 threes, that's 30 points. Right. And it's like, that was electrifying and fun to watch. And in the meantime, quietly, he didn't score the most points.
He wasn't even
highest scoring player on the court, which is crazy, because just quietly this other guy, Jason Tatum, is putting down points. It's just like, man, it's like you're just really watching like greatness. And it's like, if that person goes down in history, it's like, I saw them play.
Yeah,
it's really cool. It's like, and it made me immediately think about like Tom Brady in the NFL.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Which is like, I was a fan of Tom Brady for like 20 years, the entire time he was playing. It's like, did I ever see him play in person? Nope.
Right, man,
it's like, I was a fan of this person, and he's basically considered the greatest quarterback to have ever played the game. And he played for 20 years and won all sorts of games and never saw him in real life play other than just like on TV.
Right.
And it was like, that is sort of a bummer to me that like, I missed it. Like I was there for it and I missed it.
Right.
You know? And it was like, well, it made me feel like, well, I'm not going to let that happen again.
Right. You know? Right. It's like if something's happening, I'm going.
Like, I want to see it. You know, it was like, well, I felt the same thing last year. You brought up Taylor Swift from like when the tickets for the Era store, it was like, I like Taylor Swift. I'm a fan. I wouldn't say I'm like super diehard to follow her every move or anything.
No. Yeah.
It was
right.
was clear. This was an event. And since then it has become more clear. And it's like, I feel like people will talk about it and be like, oh yeah, the Era store. And it's like, I didn't go. I didn't make it.
I know.
I missed the event, you know, even though it happened like 100 times. It's impossible to go.
I know. Yeah. This is like, I mean, it's so funny too, because it's like when something like remarkable is happening, it's sort of like on the forefront of it. Like you could aspire to go just simply because it's sort of like, well, that sounds really cool. Like this is like one of the more popular musicians of our day. She hasn't been on tour in a long time. Like we're coming out of like a pandemic. Like it'd just be cool to go and like see something big. You know, like there's the baseline aspiration, but you're right. Yeah. Then like once you see like, okay, ticket prices are like soaring to like unbelievable levels and like it's sold out at every single location. Like this is not just something you could just like, you know, like it's like you had to be on the wait list or you're paying a premium in order to witness it.
Right.
You know, and that's like, I don't know. It's, yeah, you're right. Like even that scarcity, you're like, oh man, like what will be like people growing up, and this feels like it's happened a lot less, but I feel like for a long time, like people would always talk about like Woodstock as sort of like this like singularity inside of like,
this like week long concert.
Right. Yeah. It's like, were you there? It's like, I was at Woodstock. And you're like if you were to meet somebody, it's almost like meeting like a celebrity. It's like I was at Woodstock. It'd be like, whoa, man. You were there at the
place.
You were there. You know, it's like that's like what I wonder, you know, if you were to fast forward like 20, 30, 40 years into the future or whatever. And, you know, our kids have kids or whatever the case may be. And, you know, like you're explaining to them something that will go down in history as ultimately iconic, because we don't know now. We're inside of it. You know, like we're too close to know what will hold up to the test of time.
Yeah.
but that's always the ultimate question, is like what will those things end up being?
Necessarily know.
Yeah, and what will be the like, how will it be received? Because that's the other thing too, you know, like even you know, to hear like someone say like, oh yeah, like I saw the Beatles live at you know, Madison Square Garden or something like that, even that would be like one of those things where it's like, no way, like what an opportunity. But like surely the Beatles played before millions and millions of people, like,
yeah,
you know, lots of people have this particular accolade, and yet it's still cool just to like meet someone who is a proxy to that history being made.
Yes. Yeah. So what it made me want to do was, I was like, well, you know what? I'm not going to let this happen to me again. So like the NFL version of this, I think, would be like, I think the best player in the NFL right now, I think, is Patrick Mahomes for the Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, well, you know what? If he comes to Charlotte or to DC, like, I'm just going.
I'm going to go.
Like, it doesn't matter. Am I a huge Chiefs fan? Not necessarily, but like, you were the best player right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to have seen you played in person.
Well,
like, cause it was so different in person too. Like, I've watched basketball on TV and it's like fun and exciting, but it was different.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, no, it is. And I mean, I think I was saying this back like in the last season, where it's like, I mean, I have like allegiances to teams and stuff like that, but I do think that as time has gone on, like what I've really just bought more into is just like, I just like to watch
just sports.
Remarkable stuff.
Remarkable happen. Stuff. Yeah.
You know, like, do I want to watch my team cause an upset over somebody like Patrick Mahomes? It's like, you bet I do.
Oh, sure I do. Yeah.
But also, like, I can't root against him because I don't dislike him. And it's just sort of like, it's just cool to see that he's doing it. You know, it's like, you said Tom Brady's the greatest who's ever played. And it's like, all of a sudden, like 3 years later, you got someone knocking on his door being like, yo, what up?
Yo. Yeah. So exactly. Though, right. It's like, well, if you're going to watch someone undo it, you may as well see it in person.
Right. Know? Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That'd be pretty cool. So there's that. I would say the other fun thing about this game, it was the first time I ever bet on any sporting event ever.
No way. Way to go. I know. This is a funny one, because we will occasionally get like the little, like, sponsor request or something that'll pop up for like the you know, some of the sports betting apps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I never really know how to feel about it, because I'm always like, I mean, the full disclosure, it's like, I do it sometimes, but not regularly and not a lot.
Right.
Very responsibly. It's like, but sometimes there's that, like, it is a little bit more. So I bet for the Wizards to upset the Celtics myself, you know, and it was like one of those things where I was like, I mean, this is long odds. There's a 95% chance before the game even started that the Celtics would win.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, I'll take those odds.
I'll take those odds.
Why not?
Like, you can put in a little and score big, you know?
Exactly. It's like, but like, you know, then if the unbelievable happens, it's like a double. It's like even better.
Right.
Even better.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, so I like long odds, but that's,
there you
it's,
go.
It's a terrible financial decision in
right.
the meantime.
Yeah.
It's just like, why not? If I get to benefit from the remarkable thing happening, then heck yeah.
Yeah, right. I was like, whatever, like, because for my entire life, yeah, I've really just watched sports for the spirit of the game, just like the joy of watching it happen.
Right.
And then like, I started as an adult, I'd be around like other groups of guys, and they would like have their betting apps open, or they'd be like, they clearly had bet on this and that and that. And it'd just be like, they were like glued. Like, it is so important, the outcome of this game, for finance reasons.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was just like, am I watching sports wrong? Is everyone doing this? Am I like, am I the, weird one that just enjoys the game for the game.
Right. Yeah, for the love of the game.
For the love of the game. I'm like, boy, which I don't think is the case. I think just certain people just enjoy doing it sometimes. But so we were going to, since we were going to be at the game, I was like, well, this would be, I don't really have a horse in this race necessarily. I would now. But I was like, well, why not? This would be a fun thing. This would be a way to make it a little bit more interesting.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And that's to me, it's like, I think if you can add it and just like adds to the flavor, that's a good thing. If you're like financially like in a tight spot and you're hoping that this could make or break, it's like, that's probably wouldn't more the yeah. troublesome area. So
yeah. Yeah. So all I did was bet on the Celtics to cover the spread, which was 12 points, which means that they needed to win the game by more than 12 points, which like, After the first 12 minutes was like, yeah, this is going to be the easiest money I've ever made.
It was indeed. So you did win.
I did win. I won my bet. Hooray.
I super didn't.
You super didn't.
I don't even know if it was close. But so what did you do with your winnings?
So I was like, this bet, it was funny to me because like I would have thought the spread was based on like a 2-to-1 payout.
Sure.
I would have assumed that is how you determine where it is, that like if they beat this mark, then it pays double.
Yeah.
That is what I would have thought. I guess not. This particular one was, I think it was at like 88% or something. So it's like if you put, you know, $10 in, the most you could win was $18. Like you weren't going to double your money.
Okay.
But yep. So I ended up, I bet 25 and won like 48 in the end, which yay.
Yay, look at you super go. Super fun.
So what I did was I used that to buy myself a new Pluto pin for my collection.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh. What a juxtaposition of scenarios there.
Free pin.
I know. No, but that is the very underlying concept. I feel like mom used to talk about this sometimes growing up. It was like this idea of like found money,
yeah,
where it was sort of like, okay, something has happened, money has fallen across my doorstep, I did not know it was going to be here, and therefore I am privileged with the opportunity to spend it as irresponsibly as I desire. You know, and not to say that buying a pin is an irresponsible decision, but like it could feel like something that has like less utility than maybe like groceries for your home.
Sure.
May.
Yeah.
You know, but like this is like one of those where it's like, okay, you know, there's something that I didn't fully anticipate. I've got like a little bit extra than I thought I would have, and therefore I am going to use that for something that is just pure
just silly,
pure fun.
Yeah. Pure fun. So that was fun. It did add like a little element to the game because you're like, I mean, when they're winning by 30 and you only need them to win by 12, you're feeling pretty good about it. But like what happens is like towards the fourth quarter, like both teams sort of just know what's happening. They're like, yeah, all right, you basically won like two quarters ago. So we're both sides, you sort of agree, we're just going to let our non-starters play for a little, get some court time out there.
Yeah, exactly. Get some experience reps in,
right. Which is like good for both teams, honestly, and good for those players. But then it's like, well, if the Wizards B team is like, you know, a little bit more motivated than the Celtics don't have to try that hard. As long as they don't claw back 30 points, we're fine. So it's like you start watching, you're like, they probably don't care by what margin they win. And like, you know, if they go from 30 to 12, who cares? If you won by 12, that'd still be a big number. You know?
Well, so yeah. So here's the question. As your brand new Celtics fan, if they had won by 10,
yeah.
would the ending of the game have been like a little less?
It would have been a little like, oh, come on. I know, yeah, so close.
Right.
It would have been like, oh, I see how these odds work.
Yeah.
I felt so secure.
That would be the ultimate. Like, you know, I know that back in the day, my mood for an entire weekend could be dictated as to whether or not the Virginia Tech Hokies won their football game.
Yeah, naturally. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, it was like one of those things where like if they win, then I'm in a great mood and everything is sunshiny rainbows. And if they lose, then it's basically like, well, I'm going to be a miserable pit of despair for a minute, okay?
Right, yeah. Jeez.
Which I do think I have walked past that line in the sand where it's sort of like, and maybe it's just because my expectations have been lowered, you know, and it's sort of like, well, you know, they haven't been good for a little while now. So when they lose, it's maybe just matching what I expected to happen.
Right.
I win, it's just a pleasant surprise.
Right.
But where was I going with this? Oh, the question would be sort of like, you know, if you did get into like the sports betting end of things and it's like your team wins, but you spend the rest of the day sulking because they didn't win by like 14 points.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I could see where the people in your life would be like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
like
You're really creating narrow lanes of happiness here.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's like you're really only permitting a shallow space for you know your enjoyment of the outcome of this game to exist.
Yeah,
and that needs to be probably handled with care.
Yeah.
Don't let that be the case.
Yeah. No, you don't want that to be happening. So.
There you go. Well, anyway, so go Celtics.
Go Celtics.
Transition?
Yeah, transition. Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paperclip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see. But you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free.
Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ben, important question for you.
Okay, lay it on me.
What is the appropriate way to consume ice cream?
Frequently?
Frequently. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. I'm talking more vessel.
Oh, vessel. Okay, so you're speaking as to cup or cone?
Cup or cone.
Cup or cone. Cup or cone. Are there any other options?
I guess, well, so if you're at home, probably like bowl.
A bowl.
You know?
Yeah.
I would say like if I'm at home and I'm eating ice cream, I put it in a bowl. Like I don't have cones on hand typically.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's like, that's like one of those where it like, it almost feels odd to do the cone at home. Like I know historically in life we've done it before. Like yeah. I remember the packaging and like those. Okay. This is like one of those things where what is a sugar cone?
Styrofoam.
Styrofoam. Okay. Yeah. So like, okay, then there's like the waffle cone.
Yeah.
But then there's also like what looks like a mold injected waffle cone. Do you know which one I speak?
A mold injected waffle cone?
So like a proper waffle cone looks like they made like a flat waffle that got like folded into like a cone shape.
Yeah.
And then the styrofoam sugar cone is one that almost looks more, yeah, like it was, like it's styrofoam. I don't know. It has that shape to it.
Yeah, don't buy those. They're so bad. I hate them.
There is a cone in between those two cones.
Is there?
Yes. And I, it's like, it's funny because I think for the longest time, I would have referred to something else as a sugar cone, not the styrofoam one.
Okay.
It's almost like a darker brown color cone that like a
drumstick would come on.
Yeah. Like a drumstick.
Okay.
Would come on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not, It's not something that's been rounded into cone shape. It just already was. It's like made as a cone.
Right. Yeah. I know what you mean. Those are, if you're going to do home cones, probably do those, not those like weird tiny cup styrofoam.
Yeah.
Nonsense things.
It needs to be in the shape of a traffic cone is basically what I'm imagining.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like anything that's got a flat bottom, it's like, no siree, Bob. I'm not interested. Yeah. But yeah, so no, this is like one of those things I think as well growing up, you know, where it was like you would go and I was always pro cone. Always. But it also always seemed like to upgrade to the waffle cone was like a luxury that wasn't always my decision.
I see.
And so it was sort of like, it was like, you know, it's like an extra dollar if you want to go waffle cone. It's like, is that acceptable? Can I do that? Can I do two scoops? Two scoops in a waffle cone? What's even happening right now?
Mm-hmm.
Unachievable things, you know?
Unachievable.
Yeah. Well, at least in my head.
Right, yeah.
Maybe this was less unachievable than I think. But yeah, so I would say I would always go cone, but my preference would be like, I would rather go bowl than to have the styrofoam sugar cone.
Okay. But so your preferences aside, what is the appropriate way?
What is the appropriate way?
Yeah, what's the correct way?
I feel like ice cream is depicted in cone form.
Yeah, I think so. I'm right there with you.
Okay, yes.
Ice cream cone.
Yes, ice cream cone. Yeah.
It's an ice cream cone. Like if someone's like, yeah, you want to get some ice cream? Like you want to head down to Blue Cow and get some ice cream? Like what I'm asking you to do is go get ice cream cones.
Yes.
Right. You know, I feel like the cup, I suppose it has, like to me, the cup is only there because kids are terrible at eating cones.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Right?
Yeah,
like the cup is there.
It's training wheels for ice cream.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, we want you to be able to get ice cream, but I don't want you to be a giant mess. So they've thought of this. They have a solution. It's called a cup. It's for children. It's like training wheels, and an adult would never be seen carrying one.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course.
So if I see adults with cups, it's like, dude, what are you doing?
What happened
in your life?
Yeah.
Who hurt you?
Yeah, exactly. Who hurt you indeed? It's like something went wrong. It's like, it's like, you know, you see that and you're like, should we talk?
Exactly. It's if like, you see someone eating out of a cup at an ice cream parlor, like you need to like maybe give them a smile. Just give them a little nod. Like, It's gonna be okay, buddy.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's gonna be okay.
It's like I see something must be amiss.
Something is the askew here because I don't know if you know this. They sell cones.
Yeah,
and it seems like you maybe just didn't see it.
My condolences.
Yes. Because ice cream goes in cone.
Ice cream goes in cone.
Which like at okay, it's like whatever. If I'm at home, and that's the thing. Like at home, a bowl of ice cream also sounds nice.
It does.
Cup, paper cup. No.
How dare it?
How dare it even? Like, Look, it's a children's product. Okay. And lest you're now, if you're out there like, I need like gluten free stuff, that's obviously okay.
Yeah. That's it.
You know,
that,
I'm not talking to you.
Right. Right.
We're not talking. This isn't directed at you.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, we certainly, for dietary reasons, that's not the perspective.
Perfectly acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You have a pass.
Right. Right.
Otherwise, like, I mean, you got to cone up. Like what are you doing?
I mean, it does seem like an odd one, and I can't figure. This is like one of those where I feel like we grew up going to we would go to Holden Beach every summer. Mm-hmm. We would go to an ice cream parlor called The Scoop.
Yeah,
and I feel like this is like the formative experience wherein I learned how to properly like clean the edges mm-hmm. of the ice cream cone,
yeah.
such that it doesn't drip all over your
you
hands.
You know who's really bad at this?
Who's that?
My wife, Beth, not great at a cone.
No,
I think she's better now. But when we first like start, this was like one of those funny things you just sort of learn about the person you're dating. And it was like, you go get ice cream a few times. And it's like, well, maybe the first time was just really hot out or something. And after a while, it's like, you are always bad at this. What is going on? Like, why aren't you better at eating an ice cream cone? And it would be like, she'd be like, this is just what happens. And it's like, it's not what happens. Look at mine. And she'd be like, huh. Interesting.
Right,
like,
right.
Can you avoid this? And it was like, yes, you can avoid it.
It's like ice cream doesn't have to be messy.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be messy. It was like one of those, like, I remember just like, this is a weird gap in your knowledge.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah, just such a smart person though.
Such a smart person, I know. Smarter than me for sure.
Well, that's the okay. I would say my confession though is that I bite my ice cream. Is that bad?
I mean, I'll give it a pass.
I feel like sometimes there's like a like tongue fatigue, if you will, where it's like at some point in time, it's like, yeah, I need to consume this faster.
Well, sometimes like depending on how they've scooped it, it might be a little wonky on one side. You might need to like take a chunk out of one side to stop it from leaning.
Okay. Something,
Like, and then also I feel like sometimes if you bite, you're able to then like use the full weight and force of your neck to like push the ice cream further down. You're like,
it's a full body sport eating ice cream. I mean, everybody knows it. You know, I'm just waiting for the Olympics to show up where it's just eating ice cream.
Eating ice cream.
Who will take home gold?
Right. Yeah. Right. Look at that technique over there. Right. Not a drip.
Not a drip. Not even one.
Not even using a napkin over there.
Right. This person doesn't need a wet nap afterwards to even get any residual sticky off of their hands.
Yeah. No, they're good. Absolutely.
What a save. What a save. Okay. So anyway, that's the answer.
That's the answer, which I suppose, the reason I'm even bringing this up at all is because last night me and Beth were watching Good Mythical Morning and they had people vote on this exact topic. And then Rhett and Link had to guess what the audience said.
Oh, they do.
And it was like a 50-50 split. And I was like floored.
Appalled.
I was like, we've got to talk about this. We need to address some things. I don't know if our audience is the same. Cut of people as Good Mythical Morning.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if we exist in the same Venn diagram, but like we need to get to the bottom of this.
All right. We need a poll somewhere. do you cup or cone?
Yeah.
Also hilarious anecdote on this exact topic is that there is an ice cream parlor, in like the neighborhood that we live in.
Yeah.
And it's like one of these like very like homegrown, it's not Blue Cow, but it's like a homegrown place or whatever. And the problem is that it holds weird hours.
It does.
And so like me and Alice, there have been like so many occasions like throughout the course of our entire relationship where it's like it's within walking distance. It's like we can just go. And it's like, do you want to go? And it's like, let's check to see if it's open before we, you know, like we walk like a half mile to get there or whatever. And we go and pull it up and it's like, no, they're closed.
No, they're closed.
Like, oh, man. But so the other day we got home. It was like, it's beautiful. We have had like a really early spring, it feels like, in our neck of the woods, which has been great. And so, you know, I get home from work and Allie's like, dude, let's throw Addie in the stroller. They're open. Let's go and get some ice cream. And I was like, okay, done. Sold.
Done.
Let's go. So, you know, we all suit up, we stroll her up, you know, we get our way down there, whatever. Addie is so excited about this. And she gets, you know, like her strawberry ice cream, which is pink, and you know, she loved it and everything. So she's actually doing what I would describe as a remarkably good job at tending to her cone.
Oh, even Addie's doing a cone.
Even Addie's doing a cone.
There you go, people.
The thing I would say though, so we walk out, we're on the sidewalk, we're like walking over to this like little park where we can sit and eat our ice creams. And Addie is, she like takes a pause for a moment. She takes her ice cream cone, sets it upside down on the sidewalk.
Oh, no.
So she's like falling behind me. I turn around and she's just looking up at me and the ice cream cone is upside down on the ground. And I'm like, oh man, why did you set it down that way?
Why?
Anyway, so then it was like, what do we do with this? How do we solve this problem? And so I was just trying to do like a scrape maneuver.
Yeah, scrape.
You know, to see like
anything anything off that top layer wasn't touching the sidewalk.
It was totally fine.
Yeah.
The problem was though that I handed her my ice cream cone to hold whilst I was no, she didn't do that. So I was trying to tend to hers, hand her mine, and then she starts eating mine, prefers mine, eats my whole ice cream.
Now you have to eat sidewalk ice cream.
Now I have to eat sidewalk ice cream.
What kind did you get?
I had they call it, hold on. It has like a localized name. It's like the Dragon's Tooth, which is a hiking trail here.
Yeah, on the AT.
Yeah. So
the Appalachian Trail.
It was like chocolate with chocolate covered chocolate inside of it.
Nice. And
it was actually, I didn't expect that to be what it was. I thought it was going to be more of like a Moose Tracks type of thing.
Yeah.
Which I love Moose Tracks.
Yeah.
And This is my people pleasing nature coming out, but he described it and I was like, I don't think I want that. I'll have one of those, please. turned out it was amazing.
Oh, nice.
I was like, wow, I am super surprised at how much I'm enjoying this. Cause I don't normally go for chocolate ice cream myself. I'm more of like a vanilla base within like lots of additives of sorts.
I see.
Just as my resting preference.
But
thank goodness I took the leap in this particular occasion because it was delicious. But then Addie really ended up loving it. She's been talking about it for like the past 10 days. So
there you go.
She's like, chocolate ice cream? And I think she keeps, it's like when I come home from work, because that's like when we went. So like I keep coming home and I think she's like, well, Dad's home from work, so ice cream time.
Ice cream time. Ice cream? Oh man, last night when I was at home, like whilst we were at the Celtics game, Beth for St. Patrick's Day bought like green Oreos.
I guess
so, like mint Oreos, and so the kids knew they were in the house, and like I got home from work and Beth went for a run, and I don't think 2 minutes passed without the kids asking about the Oreos, and it was just like, yeah, we will absolutely have them, like we're gonna finish dinner, I'm gonna clean the table, and then we'll have the Oreos. And it was just like, it didn't matter that they knew the parameters around which the Oreos would be served. Every 30 seconds, it's like, we have Oreos yet? No, we're not there yet. I will tell you. I will not forget. I want them too. Okay. Right. Like, we are going to wait. We're going to get to a certain point.
This is such an interesting kind of like boundary learning process, I feel like, for young kids, though, where it's sort of like, I feel like what they're ultimately testing is sort of like, But what if I ask again?
Yeah.
And what if I ask again?
I know, and then it's like such a slippery slope, because like if they annoy you to the point where you just give in, it's like now you've opened the floodgates. Now they know they can annoy you into it.
I know. This is the true the perspective shifting power of being on the parent side of this equation is so absolutely remarkable, because one of the number one things that I was so curious about going into being a parent was like, there were so many instances that like I would remember growing up, like where it was like, is mom and dad actually mad or are they teaching us a lesson right now? Because like, you know, it's like,
it could be both.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And I think probably for all parents everywhere, it ultimately will be both.
Yeah.
Like, there are instances where it's like, honestly, what I really want to do is just say yes, because I don't actually care. And I think it's fine if you have this. However, I do feel like I need to stand my ground here, because if I don't stand my ground, then it might set a terrible precedent that then we have to deal with in perpetuity. And that will be worse. So it's like, it really stinks that you're really determined and hardheaded about this particular occasion, because I don't actually care.
I know. Yes. It's like, I had a great example just this exact morning.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, Luke wanted to eat. So what were we having for breakfast? He wanted chicken nuggets for breakfast.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know, who doesn't? Yeah. Right. And
they're delicious.
This, on the other hand, is a great example of just like, I wouldn't consider that breakfast food, but you're excited to eat it. And honestly, how different is it for if I gave you like sausages? Like,
right.
You want it? Great. You're going to eat it? Cool.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to throw up that roadblock right now. I'll make you chicken nuggets for breakfast. Cool. But then he wanted to eat them on the couch. And like, our rule is, you know, you have to eat food at the table.
Right.
Because otherwise there's just crumbs everywhere. You know, they'll drip sauces or whatever. And it's like, do I actually think Luke is going to make a giant mess with the chicken nuggets at the couch? It's like, no. I think this particular food would be okay. The occasion will pass without much incident, but it will set up a scenario where you want to eat anything at the couch.
Right. Yes.
Where like it will become a problem. It's like the rule is we just eat at the table because then you can't make a mess. If you eat over there, you probably won't, but you could. But if you eat over here, it's impossible to get stuff on the couch.
Right.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
This is where we eat. This is where we're going. And it was like, this is one of those things where he was just like, I am going to throw a giant fit about, I want to eat on the couch. I don't understand why you won't let me. And it's just like, no, we're not eating on the couch.
Right, right, right.
I'm sorry. This is the rule.
I have to stand firm.
I will stand firm. Like, this is why we have the table.
It's true though. But why is it so fun to eat on the couch?
I don't know. This is the thing. It's like, it's not like, part of me is like, it's not like if you sit on the couch, you can't, you know, you can see the TV. Whereas if you sit at the table, you couldn't see the TV or something.
Right.
You know, it's like, you're only like 5 feet further back. They're, you know, right next to each other. It's like it is literally like the comfort level of the couch versus the chair in the kitchen.
And maybe that's it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is like one of those hilarious things where growing up, like I think extremely rare instances do I remember ever eating on the couch. Dinner in particular.
Yeah.
Like as something that would have happened in our household, like maybe more than never, or maybe like a takeout night, or if like we were watching a movie or something like that. But like no instances even come to mind where we would have like just had dinner on the couch
right
growing up. But then I will also say that like when me and Alice were together pre having Addie, I bet we ate dinner at the couch more often than we ate at our table.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's like one of those things where it's like, despite the fact that I was raised my whole life never eating dinner at the couch, as an adult it's pretty much what I did.
Yeah.
But I also,
well, you an adult are way less likely to spill giant amounts of food everywhere.
It's true. It's like I had to pay for my couch,
right?
So it's like, well, you know, when you have to pay for your couch, it's like you probably want to protect your couch a little bit.
Yeah.
So there is that piece there. So it's kind of like, but I do think it's funny because it's sort of, it's almost the opposite of a lot of things I think about with like little kids, where I'm like, once they grow up, they're eventually going to know better and they're going to know like what is best for them out there in the real world.
Right.
You know, it's like to where the like certain things about childhood, you do just simply outgrow.
Yeah.
I believe.
And it's like, it is the sort of thing where it's like, you know, later on they will recognize like, this is, oh, I see. This is why you wouldn't eat at the couch, because now there's crumbs everywhere and it's uncomfortable. And I don't want, you know, my friends coming over and being like, oh, you're a slob or whatever.
Sure.
Like all those lessons will sink in, but you still have to teach them to them now. And it's like, it is funny how like, you know, I don't even think in Luke's mind at some point, I don't even think it's about him sitting on the couch. It's just about him. Like he just wants to like feel in control more than anything.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to choose to sit on the couch and you're telling me I can't. And that makes me feel out of control. It's like, I understand that, but like, I want you to feel in control, but also you cannot sit on the couch. Like, this is not how it's happening. And then, well, this was the cherry on top, is that after all of this, he finally sits at the table and eats his food. And then he starts complaining to me that we're going to be late for school. I'm like, oh, are we?
You want to go there? You want to go there?
He's like, why? You can't, like, we're going to be late. I'm like, yeah, we are. Whose fault is that?
That's so funny.
Oh, the audacity of these kids, man.
Yes, indeed. Everything is so difficult all the time, but also so worth it.
It is so worth it. Yes, it is. And it is so very worth it. And these moments are fleeting. And
that's the biggest thing. Yeah. They are so fleeting.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy to me because I had, like we talk about this sometimes, like where you try to go like put the kid in the car seat and they'll like go like rigor mortis on you. And they're like, I'm not doing it. I'm going to be like a plank instead. And it's like, oh man, this is really difficult. And I'm going to have to like, really kind of like guide you, you know, your butt into the seat so that I can clasp it to make sure you're safe for travel in this this vehicle right now, and this is very difficult because you're very upset with me, and I get that.
Yeah.
And you know, like inside of that moment, you're like, this is hard. This is hard. You know. But then it's like, you know, you get past it, and like the next thing happens, and you're like, man, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right. Yeah.
It was fine.
It's fine.
Now we're at the park, and she's having a great time.
Exactly.
So anyway, it all ends up being worth it in the end.
That's the thing. Yeah. Yeah.
We got one last transition in us.
Sure.
Transition.
All right, Ben. I have a phrase I'd like to run past you. I feel like, I don't know if it's a Gen Z phrase or if it's just like a popular phrase.
Okay, lay it on me. Yeah.
Because honestly, the people I've seen using it the most are roughly our age, if not like just a little bit younger. I feel like it's coming up a lot on the show Love is Blind. At least that's where I'm hearing it a bunch. But as the more I've heard it on that show, the more I've started to hear it out in the real world.
Is it going to be not me? Not me listening to this conversation right now?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No,
it's not I feel like I've caught on that one.
Not me doing this right now.
Not us buying wedding dresses.
Oh my God. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I feel like I've heard that one and I'm like, this is kind of an interesting one. Okay.
Okay. It is the phrasing that makes me feel a certain type of way. That made me feel a kind of way.
That made me feel, okay.
A certain kind of, yeah, that's the way that made me feel a certain type of way, or that made me feel some kind of way.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So
are you familiar with it? You've heard it?
I feel like I have heard it. I think I understand the lack of specificity attached to the sentiment.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of like, what kind of way? Can we elaborate on that? Am I correct?
It's just sort of, it's usually you can like use context to figure it out. Cause it feels like it could go in both ways.
Uh-huh.
It could be like, he brought me breakfast and bread and you know, that made me feel a certain type of way about him. Or it could be like, and then you cheated on me and that made me feel some kind of way.
Okay.
You know?
It's
like, you can see it in both directions. And it's like in one that made me feel like I really liked you. And the other one, it feels like I want to kill you. You know, it's like,
yes. And so my immediate knee jerk reaction here inside of this like reality dating scheme, mm-hmm. as it were, is that someone saying something similar to this, saying it made me feel a certain type of way or it made me feel some kind of way is almost like the person inside of the situation. I do think that there's like a sort of brainwash maybe that happens when you're like inside of the environment itself, where mm-hmm. you have no other distractions. This is your primary focus. It is like kind of gamified in a way. Like mm-hmm. there is some knowledge that there is positive outcome attached to progressing further and further and further, whether or not it's at the forefront of any person's mind or not.
But yeah.
Like, I think we've seen enough reality TV people go on to become like Instagram celebrities and make like careers out of that, you know, even if they're not intentionally doing it, there's probably some underlying, like it's worth sticking in this. It's worth continuing the process. It's worth recognizing when something is a green flag versus a red flag, you know? But I think this is when somebody feels very genuinely about something, or when you can tell somebody is speaking from the heart, it's so clear because you're not using go-to lines. You're not using like well-trotted sentiments or what's the term I'm looking for?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like on these shows, like they're almost like based on like the plot of the show are required to dance around the phrases like it's not going to work or I love you. Like that's the phrase everyone is aiming at. And if you like watch The Bachelor or whatever, they've come up with a million ways to say I like you or I love like you, or like I'm interested.
Falling in love.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, and they will. Yeah, you can range from straight up "I love you," which is so rare for them to actually say.
Yeah,
but they'll say "I'm falling in love with you," or "I can see myself falling in love with you."
Yes,
it's like,
yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, like just that's nothing. And it's like I feel like that made me feel a certain kind of way is like another way of not saying that.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to say that, but because of the plot of the show, I can't. So it's like, that made me feel a certain kind of way. And it's like, you can tell, I can't say the words because the words are powerful, but like that way, you know, it's like, but I get it, but it just seems it's so frustrating to me, this phrase, because it just feels like intentionally vague. It's like, oh, that made me feel a certain kind of way. And it's like you are intentionally not telling me the kind of way, even though you obviously know what the way is. It's like, you're not just saying that made me feel angry. That's like, that made me feel a certain type of way.
Yeah.
And it's
right,
like,
right.
Like just say the way.
Say the way.
Why aren't you just saying the way? Why are you being like I could tell you, but then I'll have told you, and then I won't have any, like, if you don't know, I can't tell you, you know?
I think the vagueisms are kind of interesting. And I do think that they have like such a home in reality TV. Like Alice and I have really been into like the UK version of like Love Island. Mm-hmm. And inside of that show, they do tons of this type of stuff where like they'll like start by being like saying to like one another, like, you know, if you've got like a couple that's like kind of being established, they'll be like, I don't think my head's going to turn if somebody else walks in, you know, because people continuously get flooded into this environment.
Oh, that's the phrase, my head's going to turn.
Well, so that's what they'll start with. It's like, yeah, it's like, you know, I don't think my head's going to turn if somebody else walks in, which basically means based on the people that are here, there's nobody else I want to talk to, and I can't imagine somebody walking in that would turn my head. But then they'll like move forward from that to using this term where they'll be like, it's like, we have decided, you know, like they may like announce this to the group or not, or have a conversation with one another, and they'll be like, we're exclusive. But like, exclusive is also not the same as being in a relationship, as being boyfriend, girlfriend. But then like a lot of times, like they'll even throw like even like more weirdisms where it's like, should we say that we're exclusive? It's like, why don't we say we're locked off? And it's like,
feels like the same thing,
right? Like it's like, to me, like the difference between being boyfriend, girlfriend or being in an exclusive relationship is none. There is no difference,
right? Yeah.
It's like we're exclusively seeing each other. It's like, but that means that we're still open to other people. It's like, no. Exclusive means only
right
you.
Like, right, like,
that's it. Yeah,
it just means I won't date other people, not that I am dating you,
right? But like, right. They will have extreme hesitance in the show about like defining the differences between being exclusive and being in a relationship, because it's like, if you're in a relationship, it's like, you absolutely, for the sake of your reputation, you cannot have your head turn.
Right.
But like, it's like, well, we weren't in a relationship. It's like, well, we were exclusive. It's like, well, what is the difference?
Right. That's very frustrating.
I know.
Yeah. But like, and it's like, I do think it comes up a lot on these shows for these reasons. Cause you're like, they need like so many ways to like not say certain words.
Yeah.
And it's like,
right.
And there was a big vibes phase as well. We're like, we're just vibing, you know, I'm feeling the vibes. I don't know about the vibes here. And it's just like, that's okay.
He's good vibes.
Okay. Vibes is okay. But a certain type of way, like it feels like it's not locked into just the like reality dating type show.
This
like,
was my next
it's
question.
It's just out
yeah.
in the world too.
Okay.
And it's like, it is so frustrating to me whenever I hear it from just, you know, regular people in my everyday life. It's just like, certain type of way, it's like, it's not, you didn't say anything is like what makes me feel like,
okay,
it's like,
I'm trying to think now. Cause I'm like, this is something that I don't know that I've encountered anywhere in particular. Like, do I say this?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay. I was like, hopefully I'm not being like, I've never heard this before. And you're like, you say it all the time. You are perpetrator number one.
No, the way you're talking makes me feel a certain type of way.
Yeah. It is funny because like, I know that there are instances or like, you know, even like, you know, in therapy, for example, like you're attempting to like articulate how an instance has impacted you, and you're doing your best to like take the feelings and apply words to them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like, I do think I called it complicated soup in like last week's episode or something.
I think that was the title.
Yeah. But it's like, sometimes I do think this is like where I'm like, there's a lot going on here, and it's not a singular emotion. You know, it's like, I understand that like inside of this situation, there's like lots of positives, but I also know that there are like some negatives, and those negatives are kind of difficult, but they're difficult in only one specific way. And so it makes me feel a certain kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get there?
You got there.
Did I
yeah.
do it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. So that in my head, I'm hoping that when people are saying it, they're not just trying to, because my thinking would be that people would be saying this as a way to leave stuff as to being vague.
It feels like they're, it feels like to me when they're saying it, they're like trying to express a feeling without like crossing a line or something, without saying like, I'm angry at you,
right?
Like, or something, but like trying to tell them that they're angry at them without saying the exact words. It's like, I never said I was angry. Yeah, I never said
you're
that.
Right, you're right. You know? It's implied. I'm following, right. I think, a bit more now too. Yeah, you're exactly right.
And like, it's like, it's possible what you're saying is that like, it makes me feel a way that I don't have a word for. And so like, it makes me feel a way. It's like a kind of way. And it's like, I don't have a word for it. And it's like, I feel like is the proper perhaps use of the phrase.
Right.
And I don't feel like whenever I hear it, like that's what they mean. It feels like there's like an intentional vagueness because I'm trying to avoid a certain kind of conflict, which only feels like it makes things more confusing and more conflictual.
Conflictual. Yeah. Excellent word.
Thank you.
I understand what you mean. Yeah. Cause I think implied anger is very different from saying something made you angry,
right?
Like it's like, well, last time I did that, you got all angry about it. It's like, I never said I was angry. It's like, yeah, but you were, right?
Right.
Like that certain kind of way you were talking about, that was anger,
right? Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like we've all seen Inside Out. We know which one must have been at the driver's seat in that situation,
right? Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Maybe disgust, right, was in there. You know, fear could have had like a pinky on the on the console. What? You know, like I was worried about what you did, and I was bothered or uncomfortable with it. That's disgust. That's fear. But anger was, but yeah, at the wire.
At the helm.
Yeah. No. It's so funny how much that movie I think has helped me to avoid this exact situation where it's like you're like, who's up there right now? Which one's operating?
Who's driving?
It's not joy.
It's not.
I know it's not joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be sadness, I guess. Yeah,
you know. Could be.
Yeah. It is interesting that like all that four of them feel like they could be attached to seemingly negative sensations,
right?
You know, whereas there's only just the one of them for like the deliberately positive,
right?
Yeah, how about that? What's up with the human brain?
I don't know. It's like you're not meant to feel joy all the time.
Yeah, that's probably just also true though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's almost like the point of the first movie.
It's to savor it.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. It's not everything has to be happy all the time.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Occasionally sadness needs to do.
Sometimes you have to feel angry about things.
Right. You know? Right. That, man, that's something that I am like trying really hard to get better at is
being angry at stuff.
Is being angry at stuff. Like this is what it's like. It's one of those things where, cause I do think that I probably, even though I'm not necessarily saying your phrase, some kind of way, a certain type of way. I do think that I probably have this issue where I'm like, it's like, I don't want to blow up right now, but I also, because I just don't really think that that's like largely who I am as a person. Like I haven't found it to be productive, but sometimes I'm like, maybe blowing up just like not occasionally with caution and the right people who you trust. It's sort of like, it's okay to let that out.
Right.
You need to, you got to feel it.
Right. Like you know? If people are making you angry, you know,
be angerful.
Be angry, you know?
Yeah.
If they're making you angry and you're just acting like it's fine, then it's like, why would they stop?
Why would they stop? How do they know?
How do they know?
Yeah, good communication. It's always key. Right.
Exactly.
Got to learn how to communicate. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I feel like that's an excellent spot. You know? Yeah. There's something to noodle on as you go throughout your day is like marker yourself, you know? It's like, what is the emotion right now? What am I feeling?
You feeling a certain type of way?
You feeling a certain kind of way?
Yeah.
Tell us about it. Also, let us know whether or not or where you land on the great debate that is cup versus cone.
Yeah.
In the great ice cream dilemma of 24. You know, because a heated debate, which is not good for ice cream. So we need to cool it down.
Need to cool it down.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, it's like if you're going to get a cup, like, you know what? It's fine. Just like, just know that you're snubbing your nose at the concept of ice cream. You know, you're doing, you know, you do you, but like you're doing it wrong and you need to know that. And it's like, if you can accept it and move forward with your life, like, you know, that's okay. That's okay.
That's a good question though. So like, let's say, you know, you go through the ice cream line or we've got like a friend who like listens to this and they're like, not going to lie, I'm a big cup person over here.
Big cup
and
guy.
They get through the line and they're like, they're sitting there eating their ice cream and you're just staring at them, you know, like feeling a certain kind of way. And like, you know, you're just looking at them and they look at you back and they're like, I know I hate that I do this, but it's cleaner. I just prefer the cup method. Mm-hmm. You know, would you be like, thank you for saying that. I feel better.
I don't think I would ever be like staring somebody. It wouldn't make me angry, you know, that someone got a cup.
I was just trying to give you my most evil stare. Yeah.
It would make me sad for them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just missing out on.
It's just like, you know.
You left joy on the table.
You left joy on the table. We came all the way. We're here.
Right.
We came here.
Right.
Right.
This would be like after every single negotiation, if people were completely candid with one another. And it's like, how much further would you have come down on that price? It's like, honestly, you had about $3,000 more than I would have come down on that new car. It would be so funny. It's like, oh man, if I just pushed a little, I could have gotten three more off. It's like, you could have, honestly. I was fully ready to do it, and then you just caved, and it was sort of like, okay, that sounds great. Good. It's like, yeah, it's like you hate that feeling of leaving money on the table, you mm-hmm. know? It's like, oh man, I came up worse on this negotiation than I thought. It's like that is eating ice cream out of a cup.
Right.
You leaving joy on the table.
You're just
man.
Leaving joy on the table.
There was more to had.
More to had. Yeah. More to had. Anyway. You could have that cone.
Send all of your thoughts to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Otherwise, if you'd like to support the show, we would greatly appreciate it. You can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. A huge variety of tiers over there. Be sure to go and check them out. Link in all of the show notes and all of the various places. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.